If you've got your Bible, I'd like you to open your Bible to John chapter 2, starting from verse 13. It is a wonderful day to be having a talk about such an important issue. And I know for sure that the name that we're going to raise in this place is the name that changes life, and it transforms life to the point that the people who used to know you will not be able to recognize you once you have an encounter with Jesus. So that's what I'm going to be talking about today. But I'm going to be focusing on the resurrection. I was thinking that for the past few weeks, we've been talking about the Easter holiday. And for some of us, it was a holiday. But for most of you here, I know they were holy days where we really look to the Savior, where we look to the Redeemer, where we look to the Restorer, to the King of Kings, Emmanuel, God with us, and you looked at him and gazed at him and saw the beauty of his finished work on the cross. So today I'm going to start off from the point that we left last week. We're going to talk about resurrection. We're going to talk about resurrection. And this passage of scripture from John chapter 2, if you are there, just say amen. Okay, I'm going to read from the New King James Version, from verse 13. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and money changers doing business. Somebody say, doing business. There was business going on. There was business going on. What type of business is a different issue. So they were doing business. Verse 15. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. In the other version, it says, the zeal for your house consumes me like a fire. 18. So the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show to us since you do these things? Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I could have started right at the beginning about the money changers, but I saw no substance in that. Not too much substance as to the word for today. I'm all too aware that when you pray to God, God inspires you to speak about things that people are facing. And then the word becomes the now word, that people can take that word and understand that we are moving with the Lord because it relates to some situations. So I'm all too confident today that some of these things that we're going to talk about, it will seem like I've spoken to you before. But do not be surprised, because we are in a Spirit-filled church where Jesus Christ is moving, where the gifts of the Spirit are operational. And if you tap into the anointing, God speaks to us at our very point of need. So that's what I'm trying to tap into right now as I speak to you right now. I believe that God is with us all the way, and that he has got unfinished business with all of us. And he's only just started. And your best days are ahead of you. So it's a perfect declaration. If your best days you think are behind you, then you're not going to look forward with hope. But I want you, Hope, the name of the church. We go past the name Hope Church, Hope Church, Hope Church. But sometimes we walk in hopelessness. We need to begin to walk in the hope of our coming Savior. So I'm believing that the Holy Spirit, as I speak now, is not limited by my voice or the things I'm going to say. I believe in the Bible where the acts of the apostles, people would pass by and the shadow of the person would heal someone. I'm in that realm of belief. I'm not limited by what I say. I know the God I worship is well able to heal someone now as I speak. I know the God I worship, that even before I speak it, it begins to do something in someone's life, in someone's heart. I'm talking about a God who doesn't change a behavior and does behavior modification, but I'm talking about a God who transforms lives and makes them anew, a restorer, a rewarder, a redeemer who's in our midst. And in fact, what this God does is he dwells in our hearts and he stirs us up to reach higher when we are about to give up. So I'm all too aware that in our midst, right at this moment, there may be some who are about to give up. So you are my assignment today. You are my assignment. God has sent this word to call you back to where you belong, to say, arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And I can say that confidently because I know God is well able to do these things. So, the story goes that Jesus walks into an environment where there was chaos all around. And when he walks into that environment where there was chaos, he did the unexpected. He did the unexpected that he drove all those money changers and everyone within the temple out of the temple. And he goes on to the next stage. When he's questioned by the people who were there, were responsible, you find that he gives them an answer. They asked him, they knew what they were talking about. They say, what sign can you give us that you have the authority to do what you are doing? And I said again at the beginning that there are some here who face that question, who face that question at work in the everyday life, that voices are asking you probably, how dare you do something like that? Well, the Lord has got an answer for you today too. The Lord has got an answer for you today too. And so, the Jews asked him, what sign can you show us since you do these things? And the world every day is questioning us, who do you really think you are? All the world can give us a false identity of who we are, and we operate at that level and really miss what God. But today, the Lord has got something for you too. Because you're going to operate at the level, what God says you are, that's who you are. What God says you will be, that you will be. So I pray the Holy Spirit will begin to an inner work. We are not waiting for the end of the sermon for God to begin to do something. Right in the midst of the sermon, when God begins to do business, we said that in the church there is business. I believe that when the Lord walked into the temple, he yearned for business like we are doing today, where the name of Jesus is glorified, where the name of Jesus is lifted high, where the brokenhearted are actually healed. I believe that we are going to do God business this hour. So what sign do you show us since you do these things? Jesus did not say, oh, I'm so tired of you asking for signs, I'm not going to give you any. In fact, what Jesus said is that, destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it. In essence, what Jesus was saying, hello, I give you the resurrection life. He was saying that in answer to what you have just spoken, the resurrection. I wonder if we could be like Jesus today as we face this sermon today. I wonder if we can look at something that is totally unrelated to the resurrection and introduce it to the resurrection. Because the disciples couldn't understand what you were talking about. The people were asking about why are you doing what you're doing? And he says, destroy this temple. It seems so much like disconnected. But I want you to make that connection today because you move by the Spirit. You are inspired by God. And whatever Jesus does, you do. So I ask you today and implore you that you introduce each and everything in our life to the resurrection, because there is something about the resurrection that the devil cannot handle. There is something about the resurrection that makes us tick as Christians. There is something about the resurrection that is at work in us. In fact, the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, and we are overcomers day, night, in the morning, in the evening. When we are asleep, we are overcoming every time, because He dwells in us, He lives in us, He is strong in us, He is with us, He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us. That's the God we worship. So there is an introduction that we need to do. We need to introduce all these things right now to the resurrection. To the resurrection. I know that my Lord at this point was not short of ideas, because I remember in the Old Testament there was a man called Moses, and he went before Pharaoh, and there was chaos everywhere in the land. And when he was asked, you know, I'm not going to do this, he did a sign that really came from the Lord. So God was not limited. He could have said, okay, it's frog time now. And there could have been some frogs in the temple, but he did not do that. He thought, no, I'm not going to stoop low. I'm going to introduce something that the devil has got no answer to. In fact, Moses went from the second to the first to the second miracle to the third miracle until he got to the tenth where we are right now. That is the miracle that actually brought about the release of the children of Israel. So the Lord was not limited at that point as to what he could do. The Lord could have just said, like Elisha, when he and his servant, when the army were before him, he could have said, okay, Lord, open the eyes of the Jews so that they can see the myriad of armies and angels around us. But he didn't do that. He sort of thought, as powerful as it is, he said, I'm not going to stoop that low. I'm going to go for something greater. And he says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up, the resurrection. He introduced the problem to the resurrection. He introduced the detractors to the resurrection. He introduced that voice that says you can't to the resurrection. He introduced the mountain you cannot climb to the resurrection. How is it related to the resurrection? I don't know. But I know that the resurrection works every time. I know the resurrection works every time. And the resurrection is working now. Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you raise it up in 3 days? Project management. I know sometimes we are in this fallen world and we look at the circumstances around us, but I'm going to deal with a few issues that we face that speak against the resurrection, the laws of nature. It cannot be done. It has taken this long for such a person, therefore you cannot attain it in a day. You cannot attain it. You cannot do it. It has happened before, and therefore no one came from this one. In other words, you are as good as dead. But today, we're going to make an introduction, meet the resurrection king. That's what we're going to do, meet the resurrection. So, for some, it might not be project management issues that have got principles in them that are true and right. But for some of us, it will be economics. If you add A, B, C, D, equated to how the economy is, well, impossible, say the Jews. And some of these voices will be speaking to us, impossible. And some of us will be dealing with issues that relate to medicine and physiology. And medicine says, impossible, but introduce it to the resurrection today. And then in some people, in some lives, it might be psychology, which says something that is otherwise. And in some situations, it may be the statistics are stacked so much against you. Well, if the statistics are stacked so much against you, you are in the right place today. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are in the right place today. And tell them that one with God is a majority. Amen. So, here you see that there was an issue that was going on. They were not having clear communication here because their worldviews were completely different. The Jews were looking at the physical things and that they could sense with their five senses, and what they could touch, what they could feel, what they could smell, what they could, you know, the things that they relate to in this world. And they were limited in many ways because all the situation there is that you can see is not all that there is. The things that we can see right now is just the outer shell. So this is the situation that these guys were thinking of 46 years. They were thinking of project management. They were thinking, will I make it because so-and-so didn't make it? Will it be able to? But you are with God. And so Jesus, when he spoke like that, you would have thought that the disciples, surely they are really going to catch this one. But they didn't. The Bible says that the disciples remember that he had said to them, when he had risen, that's when they remembered, oh, the Lord was talking about this. So this sermon might not make sense to some people, but when you come out of the situation, the Holy Spirit is going to remind you. Do you remember the day when you ran away from the middle where there was too much sun, you went into one side? Yeah? Do you remember that day when we were talking about the resurrection of my son? That's when I began to do this work. So you might not understand it, but heaven's principles, whether you understand them or not, whether the Jews understood them or not, were kicked into action. So we're going to kick into action heaven's principles, whether somebody understands them or not, because it is God's will that everyone should be free. It is God's will that everyone be saved. It is God's will that we walk in the liberty of our Lord Jesus Christ. So whether they are understood, that's not the point. The point is that when they are spoken out and proclaimed, God springs into action. So that's what's happening right now. That is what's happening right now. So we are talking about the resurrection life. If you take out the resurrection from Christianity, you remain with an empty shell with no life in it. You remain with a leader who's like many of the religions around, like Hinduism and Buddhism, who claim to have a leader. But this leader is trying to lead them to heaven, but they never conquered death, but introduced Jesus Christ. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And if someone is able to conquer death, hell, and the grave, what is a debt? What can a debt do? What can pain of the body do? If somebody has conquered death, hell, and the grave, he went for that. So when you speak about the resurrection, you are raising the bar. You are raising the heat. You're not just saying, I'm going to start like Moses to do this and that miracle, and then we move on to that. You are introducing the Son of God, the blood of the Lamb shed at Calvary, victorious Christ who redeemed us from the curse of the law. He is risen on high. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, right now interceding for us. That is raising the bar. The devil cannot stand it. He cannot even look at it. He knows you found the answer. You have found the real answer to life, the resurrection life. So it's not limited to Christ, this life. I believe that when he was talking to this, he knew well enough that in Corby somewhere, at a certain time, there's going to be a congregation that has got people like Carol, like Nick, like John, like Peter, like Harry, who are going to be there. And when they are there, they carry this resurrection life, that when the enemy comes in and asks them, what authority do you stand by in doing those things? They can stand back and speak to the enemy and say, the resurrection. I stand by the resurrection. And if the enemy asks, how can you stand by the resurrection? He says, I died a long time ago. He lives inside me. I can do all things through Christ who lives in me. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. And then you go on to the next stage. In fact, I trample now on scorpions, and nothing by any means shall harm me. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So, the resurrection carries that central, very crucial part in our gospel that it cannot be taken out. You cannot take out the resurrection and remain with Christians who have received salvation. If you take out the resurrection, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that we are dead in our sins. We are condemned. We are destined to fail. But that is not so. Somebody in here will tell you that is not so. I know he lives. I live with him. He's not some figure that is out there, but I feel his presence every day. I talk to him every day. He lives inside me. I know my Savior lives. Because we've got people who have been impacted by the gospel, who have been impacted by the resurrection life. And what it has done to them is that they have now been born again. And the Spirit of God dwells in them in such a way. In fact, in Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And if that's not enough, the Bible then goes on to say, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. I'm talking to new creation here. This is new creation material. The old has passed away. Behold, the new is before you. This is what the Word of God keeps on telling us. And I remember the Bible talks in John chapter 3 when Jesus is talking to a man who's a great teacher. His name is Nicodemus. And he comes to Jesus by night and says, how does this thing work? I see, I kind of like it. That's my own paraphrasing, by the way. It's not in the Bible. It says, I kind of like this. I see a bit of power in you. You know, you're kind of good. And Jesus says, you are a great teacher in Israel and you do not know these things. And it really puzzled him to actually understand how someone can have a resurrected life. So, despite Nicodemus not understanding it, as we said at the beginning, the resurrection life is here. It's available for anyone who's willing to take it. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to take this further. Because I believe that at the end of this, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to keep on reminding us of the areas that we need to minister one to another, where we can actually minister according to this word. And let the same power that raised Christ from the dead that dwells in us do his work, because that is his promise. We're going to look now at the scripture in Luke chapter 24. So if you're in John, if you go back a few pages, two or three pages maybe for some, you are going to end up at Luke chapter 24. And when you get to Luke chapter 24, you are, if your Bible is has got some titles, mine has got a title, He is Risen. He is Risen. And I'm going to start reading from verse 1. This is the actual, because Jesus had promised that, you know, in 3 days I'll raise it. And now we're going to go to the end of the 3 days to see what happened. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. When they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus, and it happened as they were greatly perplexed. The word perplexed comes again. They were surprised. Not connected. He's supposed to be dead. Do you know that in your life, some people will be looking at you and say, he's supposed to be finished. That happened to me many times. Also, so if we're still, he's supposed to be, I don't know. So these ladies went with the spices, and verse 4, I'll continue to read. And it happened that as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again.'" I don't know today. Maybe you've heard it many times that you're going to come out of your situation. This is the same scenario they were in. Jesus kept on telling them that this is what's going to happen. When they got to this situation, they could not relate because the worldview that they were living in, it did not connect. It did not add up. It really did not add up. And I'm sure you can look at these women and say, well, they were doing something very noble. They were doing a good thing. Saints, we can be coming to church doing all the basics that are good. But if we do not know the resurrection life, if we do not experience the resurrection life, we have missed a great part of this gospel. We have missed the saving part of this gospel. That he died for my sins. He rose again on the third day. And he was seen by many on this earth. And he ascended on high and is seated at the right hand of the Father. So we can be doing like these women, these noble things, and they are really good. In fact, you get many coming alongside you because spices are pretty good, aren't they? You know? And you'll be doing business, isn't it? That's another type of business that they were doing. Just like Jesus walked in, they were doing the business. And the Bible talks about these which are angels. And they said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living among the dead?" The issue was not that they had the wrong spices. The issue was not that they were not looking. The issue was that they were looking for a living king in dead things. They were searching for him in religion. They were searching for him in places where he cannot be found. I want you to focus on your heart right now, because my Bible tells me that he dwells inside your heart. In fact, when you pray, I want you to focus on the inner voice that keeps telling you that the Lord God Father is satisfied with you. The voice that keeps telling you that he loves you. If you look into that place, if you look into that and hear that inner voice, which is a good start because his Holy Spirit is in us, you begin to have a kind of relationship and a walk with him where you begin to trust him that you are hearing with him and walking with him. So in this situation, these women went to the tomb and they looked in, and as they expected to find him, they did not find him. He was gone. He had risen. So sometimes we can do these nice things. We can do these lovely things which are really, really lovely, which look good. But then the issue is that Jesus is not there. I don't want to be in that place. I want to be at that place where Mary stood in John, in the book of John. And she stayed and began to weep for Jesus because her pain did not drive her away from the tomb. Her pain began to make her ask the questions, "Where have you put my Lord?" And you find that Jesus turned to her and said, "Mary," because she dared to let the pain that was in her heart drive it towards Jesus. So sometimes we need to look and say that the pain that I'm feeling, the constraints I'm feeling, shouldn't lead me from the Lord, but rather lead me to the throne of grace, because that's where I find help in time of need. So we should not be running away. We should be running towards God. So in this situation, what really happens is that there, what was expected to happen to this Jesus did not happen the way it was expected. In fact, where there was supposed to be mourning and death, there was life. In fact, where they expected the stone to be closing the tomb, they found that the stone had been rolled away. Everything that the enemy had planned for evil had been reversed. So when you operate in this resurrection power, in this resurrected life, what you experience is that the expectations that the world has done, the best that the world can throw at you, will be reversed, because when the Lord comes in with His power, He's going to rescue you. One of the names is God is Rescuer, my Redeemer, in that He never fails, He's always on time. He always restores that which is broken. In fact, Jehovah is near the brokenhearted, and that when you pray to Him, He hears your prayer. In the midst of confusion, in the midst of the tomb, in the midst of destruction, God is working a way out for you. I need to declare it to somebody, because I believe I've come to that point where I need to look someone straight in the face and say that God is working a way out. And God is working a way out right now. You do not need to see how many steps I'll need to take to get to the door. All you need to know is that you serve a God who is faithful. You serve a God who's never late. You serve a God who cares for you, that He died for you. You serve a God who's not going to give up on you even when everyone else gives up on you. You serve a God who's alive, who's not dead. Our God is alive. Jesus Christ is alive. We do not worship a religion. We worship the living God. And Jesus Christ is alive. So there is a way out. Might be closed in the east. Ray, you do not know. I try, this door is shut. It's on the eastward. And I say, okay, brother, why don't you look on the door on the south or the east and say, all of them are shut. I can't come out. You can be shut up in that place. But the word of God is not bound. Paul said, the word of God is not bound. As long as heaven is open, as long as there is kingdom business in heaven, as long as your Christ is seated at the throne, high and lifted up, there is a way out of any situation. There is no situation that God cannot take us out of from. This I declare emphatically. God is well able, under any circumstance, under any situation, to rescue. He is well able to rescue us. And He's coming for you. He is coming for you. So, when you operate in this resurrection life, what is meant to die comes to life again. How? It's a miracle. It should have been dead. Relationship should have died a long time ago. But because of the resurrection power, there is resurrection in that relationship. There is a reconnection. What is meant to be of darkness coming against you, when the light shines in darkness, darkness cannot comprehend it, according to John. Because the light of God shines in those situations and is so much attracted where weakness is. Oh, Ray, I feel so weak. When you are weak, then He is strong. You are in the right place as long as you recognize that your Lord and Savior lay in the grave 3 days, dead, not half asleep, dead. And out of His own power, rose again, triumphantly. This is the God we worship. We are not worshiping a God who plays games. We worship a God who's talking about life, things of substance. We are worshiping a God who talks of things of eternity, who's setting you up for eternity right now. He's not only setting you up for next week or next month. He's setting you up with destiny for eternity, where you will rest with the Father. And the contribution that he's doing right now is the few steps that he's walking with you right now as we speak. Because that's our God. He loves you so much. Sometimes he allows situations to happen just to, so that you just gaze a little bit deeper. Because out of all the overflow of our hearts, the Bible tells us that, you know, blessed are those, you know, who mourn. I don't understand it either. But the Bible calls them blessed. It says blessed are those who mourn. Now, this situation of the resurrection life brings things into a dimension that the devil does not like. Because one of the key weapons that the devil uses is discouragement. And what the devil uses discouragement for is that he wants to kill your hope. The Bible tells us that the enemy comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And then once you have no hope, you are hopeless. And the situation that we stood, that we did not know that we were in at that point, was that when Jesus was there, hadn't died at the cross, there was no hope for anybody. Absolutely no hope. It was hopeless. But when the resurrection life sprung to action, people began to see that, wow, we can make it. Because our Christ, Jesus, has said what he would do. He has conquered death, hell, and the grave. So from hopelessness to hope. And then situations that are impossible. I think you are in the right place. And I think you are listening to the right message as well. Impossible, said the Jews. It has taken 46 years. They gave you statistics, maybe. They gave you a prognosis that is going to last that long. But today we are here to defy the odds. Because there is one who's named the Son of David. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he looked at the situation of the grave, and no one had come out of there out of his own power. And he declared something different. So today we are declaring something completely different. What man says is impossible is possible with God. All things are possible to them that believe. All things are possible. And then there are some thinking that my place is a desert place. But my God, he is able. He is able to actually bring water in a desert place. To bring relief in the desert place. On your way to your Canaan. Because God is taking you on a journey. God is taking you on a journey. The essence of this is that Jesus stood up at one point. And he began to declare that the gospel has got to be preached. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Not preach people, but preach the gospel, which is what we're doing. And then he goes on to say that he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So, I put two and two together that we are preaching the gospel. Therefore, we are going on to another stage where the gospel targets the brokenhearted right now. I am not talking about the word that just is subtle and does not demand a reaction. I am talking about the word that springs into action in resurrection power. So, I speak right now that the brokenhearted be targeted in the name of Jesus. And let them be healed. And then the next thing he said that is to proclaim liberty to the captives. The sad situation about captivity is this. Sometimes it can become very comfortable being captive. And in fact, in some situations, it becomes like you are honoring God by remaining captive. And sometimes the issue is that when I have been there, I'm talking about myself in this situation. I really enjoyed it in some instances. In fact, the sympathy I got and everything, that's me. I'm not talking about you, Glula. You're okay. You were never there. You're good. And captivity to me, at some point, I tried to come out of it many times and failed. So I made it my home. Being uncomfortable, misery became my friend. In fact, I would lock the door and enjoy one-to-one sessions with misery because that's all I knew. And it became comfortable being there. And if anyone came to me, I met so many people on the streets, and they told me, "Brother, do you think that there are some issues that you're really facing? Don't you think that you need to be set free?" I became angry in my bondage. I became mad. But we see that the word that we are preaching today is quite powerful. Even though the Jews did not believe that he will rise again, Jesus declared it, and it happened. So whether someone or myself, I'm in captivity today, I declare it upon self, it will happen. Because the word of God cannot be stopped. Hallelujah. And then he said, let the blind receive sight. So here he was speaking about, you know, see, not only physical blindness, but hearing the word of God. The word of God not having any impact on you. And therefore you fail to see what others are excited about when he says, "Jesus, this." Why are they excited? Well, we speak sight. May your eyes be opened. May you see the resurrection power. May those eyes see the living God. And may you have an encounter with Jesus. And to set at liberty those who are oppressed, which you have done, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Right, saints. It's going to be good this year. It's going to be a good year. It is going to be a good year. Despite what you are facing right now, God is in control. God has taken charge over the course of the reins of your life that you cannot be snatched from the palm of his hand. That is a declaration. In fact, I want to declare the good things that are coming your way. The first good thing that you have received today is believing that Jesus is on your side. And if God is on your side, who can be against you? That is the greatest gift you ever received today. And from it comes other things, nibbles, that you're going to have along the way, but you're going to make it. If it's a disease, you're going to make it out of it. If it's an illness, you're going to make it out of it. If it's a problem anywhere, you're going to make it out of it because you serve a God who broke the bones of death, hell, and the grave, the God who gave you resurrection power that you can get out of any situation. You can come out of any situation because of his name. And Ray, I think you're taking these things too passionately and too far. I am. Because I see it in the word, I do it. Joel 3:10 speaks and he says, "Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong." Now, if the Jews were there, they would say, "What authority do you have to say such a thing?" Same thing with Jesus. Well, what's your answer? The resurrection. The resurrection. So to everything is the resurrection. In fact, I'm going back to my battles that I lost, and I'm beginning to redeclare the resurrection power. I'm beginning to declare to my battles right now, resurrection power. I'm beginning to declare to the things that I do not believe in that God should have done, resurrection power. Because when you talk about resurrection power, you're talking about the risen Christ, triumphant in every way. So, now the issue that we need to do right now as we prepare to pray is that, what are the assurance? What assurances do I have through this word that you are speaking today? Do you know that in life, when you go out there are not many assurances out there. They always break, they always fail. And you find that after a while, what you believed was going to happen did not happen. But we're going to declare some assurances about what the Bible says the resurrection life brings. The life that you are living right now. If you are born again, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing that the assurance that is for sure is that you are accepted by God. God has accepted you. God, wherever you are with Him, God accepts you. He loves you. He has accepted you. And we are accepted by God. I want you to look very carefully. We are in the book of Luke right now. I want you to just go to chapter 1 and go to verse 21. Right. Now, this is where we need to listen with spiritual ears. I'll read it first and then I'll explain. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. Can someone with the NIV just shout that verse out? They wondered why he stayed so long in the temple. Now, the issue was every year, the high priest will go into the Holy of Holies with the blood. And he will receive forgiveness for the whole nation. So he used to have some bells around so that when he's moving, at least, you know, if so nothing bad has happened there, they'll know he's alive in there. And a rope attached to him. In case something happened, then they would actually pull him out. So as the people waited for Zacharias, they were waiting to see if their sacrifice had been accepted. So they waited there for him to come out. So they did not rejoice then because they did not know how he's going to pan out in there. So what happened is that when Zacharias came out, the whole nation rejoiced. What they knew is that God has accepted our sacrifice here. So we are forgiven. We are accepted. Now, take this. Resurrection. Jesus went into the grave. As long as he remained in the grave, which the ladies came and looked with the spices, as long as he remained there, there was no guarantee that we had been accepted. But the moment Jesus rose triumphant, we knew that it's not only for a year, it's for eternity. The Lamb of God has been slain. We knew that forever, through generations, we are accepted by God. And there is a need to rejoice there because there were no guarantees until Jesus rose from the grave. Because the sting of death could have got him. Something could have gone wrong inside there like Zacharias. But the people, we saw Jesus rising up. And that is a gift that God has given us to declare on every situation, to say, my God arose out of this situation. The devil says, keep down, be quiet. And he says, but he rose from the dead. My God is alive, and I am accepted by God, not because of what I have done, but because of what he has done. Not because of who I am, but who I am in him. Because it's all about Jesus. It's all about the high priest who goes in there. Everyone else who was outside only waited to hear that the high priest has come out. And all they did was, wow, it's done. Because they knew that it had to be the high priest who had to go in there. So I find the need to rejoice when I hear my high priest went there, rose from the grave, resurrection power is active in me right now. I'm overcoming every day. So my King is alive. God Jesus is alive. He reigns. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. So I'm accepted. Doesn't mean that people will accept you. But what matters is God accepts you. I want you to clap hands with yourself. God has accepted you. He accepts you. So there is an assurance there because of the resurrection. You are sure that you accepted. But I went and stole this watch from Argos. You accepted. You are accepted. Amen. Now, the next thing is that because of the resurrection, there is another assurance that you need to know, and we all need to know, that we have an interceding high priest in the presence of the Father. When, you know, some people unfortunately want to pray on their own. That's a lonely life, I'm sorry. But I want to make my prayers knowing that I have got backup in heaven. I want to make my prayers knowing that if I say it in his name, it's going to go through because he's on my side. So when I pray, I'm not scared anymore that I might not get it because I know that the one who is risen accepts me. And therefore, what I desire, whatever I ask of him, he does it. That's what the Bible says. Ask anything in my name and I will do it. Because you know that prayer life is not a lonely life anymore. Whilst you're praying, whilst you're in all these situations, there is someone who's interceding on your behalf. But the devil wants to make it like it's a labor. But Jesus is interceding on your behalf. All you need to do is to open your mouth so that whatever sacrifices you give to the high priest, he takes to the Father and says, Father, I died for them. They don't have to struggle. Today we are talking about the good news. The good news is you do not have to struggle anymore. He has taken our burden. He has borne our sorrows. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were healed. It is done. It is finished. He is risen. The next thing that we are assured of is that we have all the needed power for life and service. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's an assurance. So while I'm doing these last verses, I want you to be gearing up for what we have just said, because we said we're going to minister one to another. This is going to be a place where what Jesus desired in the temple, my house shall be called a house of prayer. The zeal for your house, oh God, burns in me like a fire. And I'm sure you know that when you're talking about the church, you're not talking about the building, which is Kingswood. Next week is going to be used by students. We are talking about you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus dwells in the inside of you. So I want you to prepare that house whilst you are speaking. Let faith arise. I wonder if you could just turn it up a notch. The notch that you have never turned your faith to and see what happens. I want you to try the Lord with this today. And see if the Lord will not answer your prayer. You are accepted. We spoke of that. And God takes pleasure in you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. You are above and not beneath. You are the head and not the tail. Those are all declarations about us. So, the next thing that the assurance of the resurrection life gives is that we are given an assurance that as he himself rose, we also are going to rise again. We are assured of immortality. We are assured of an eternal life in the presence of God. That is an assurance you cannot get from any other religion. That is an assurance that you cannot get from any other leader except Jesus Christ, who has the resurrection power, who has got the resurrection life working in us. Because 1 Thessalonians 4:14 says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. 2 Corinthians 4:14 says, knowing that he raised up the Lord Jesus, shall raise us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. And one triumphant one. John 14:19 says, because I live, you shall also live. Hallelujah. I want us to just rise to our feet right now. Because we are doing kingdom business right now. This is serious stuff. Jesus had to die for this. He had to die for our liberty. I want you to ignore your neighbor for a second and just have business with God. Because he cares for you. You are accepted. And you can enter his throne room at any time because of what he has done. There are no restrictions to you. You are not hindered by anybody. There is no one who can accuse you of anything. Who shall lay a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Yea, it is Christ who died. And because he lives, the song says, I can face tomorrow. He lives. He is alive. The resurrection life in some has been activated now. There is hope rising up. His spirit is flowing freely in our midst. We have that reconnection again because he said, come as you are. I believe he's calling us again to that place where we just trust him with our lives. I believe that for moments like these are moments that the Jews did not want to see happen. But Jesus gave them the answer. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. If your dreams are destroyed today, there is one who rose from the dead. His name is Jesus Christ. If something inside of you is dying, there is one who can resurrect it. His name is Jesus. So we want to focus on him right now because he can do all things. And you can do all things. You are loved by God. You are complete in him, the head of all principality and power. You have been made alive with Christ. You are free from the law of sin and death. You are holy and without blame before him in love. You have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding under any situation. You are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You are a new creature in Christ, a new creation. You are alive in God. You are more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. You have been brought near through the blood of redemption. You have been justified for all things. That's you. You are now God's offspring. You are kept by the power of God, and you are in the presence of God. And because he lives, you live. We declare that you are going to live. You are not going to die. That God has got a purpose and a plan for you. And that the moment you begin to accept it, God will begin to reveal what he has for you. So I just want us to begin to just start praying. Just begin to pray for yourself. Pray that the God, the resurrected Christ, brings to life something that you've never seen before in your heart. In Jesus' name.